Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. This is one of my favorite annual interviews. We have in studio with us today Steve Bauer. He, of course, is the owner of the Little Log House area, and they have a big event coming up, as they do every year. It's the Antique Power Show, going to be July 29th, 30th, and 31st from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. And it's always fun to chat it up with Steve and find out what is new for this year. Great to see you. How have you been?
I'm very good, thank you.
Tell me a little bit about the history. I know that most everybody knows where this is, but for people that might be in our extended listening area that don't know about your wonderful Pioneer Village, tell us about it.
Well, I guess it started like 31 years ago, and it all started out with, there was an old farmhouse that was going to be burnt down as a fire practice, but inside the old farmhouse was a little log cabin that was tucked inside of it. And that house was built in 1855 by Abraham Truax. He was a local craftsman around here, and he built that house out on 316 and 61 out in the Welch Township. And the people that moved there were from, they came from another country, and they homesteaded there. And the house and the land was deeded by Abraham Lincoln to them. And so the house was there from 1850s till I found this house 30 some odd years ago, and took the little log house that was inside the big farmhouse and saved it and preserved it and moved it to our place.
So do you think that's how architecture was in the olden days? You started out with something, and now when I think about when people add on to a house, they add a wing or they do this, but you're saying this was actually inside the house and they built around it?
They built around this thing. You'd never know by driving by it was a log house inside of it. It was, you know, the dimensions like 16 by 24. That's all it was.
Little.
It was a little house.
It was a little log house.
But it was a two-story house, and that's what they lived in. And when they got here from the other country, they literally went out in the woods and chopped down the oak trees and made this house. But before they built the house, they actually built a barn. They had the barn there, so they had livestock, so they had a means of living, and they actually lived in the barn until the house was done. Then again, they stayed there and homesteaded the property in mid-1850s until the family generations moved on.
So have you always liked history, or where did this desire to save this little log house come from?
You know, I'm not so much a history buff other than the American history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't really care what's going on across the ocean. You know, I don't care about getting thrown in with the lions or something like that. But I like the local stuff. I like the local things that really took place. And the big change in our society from the 1800s till now, the current changes, it's just so remarkable to see that. And just like the Spiro Bridge in Hastings. Just think, 1895, they built the bridge. 1895, there wasn't such thing as a car. So when that bridge was built, it was a bridge built for horse and buggy traffic, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before the bridge in Hastings, 1895, the people got across the river on a ferry. There was no bridge. They couldn't cross the river no other way. So to get a bridge built, a Spiro Bridge, one of the only one in America, and sat there in Hastings until 1895 to about 1953, which then it was too small to accommodate buses and trucks.
So that was something that you wanted to save as well.
Well, being from Hastings, it was just the only thing. Common sense is, as when you got one of a kind in America and you got it right in your hometown, in your backyard, you just almost have to reproduce that.
Right, but most people, when they think about all the things that you've collected, they don't collect things like that. They collect, you know, snow globes or salt and pepper shakers, and you collect...
I collect a variety of things. I like to be, I'm quite a bit different than normal.
Oh, really?
And I just like, it's not about the expensive things. It ain't about the big expensive toys. It's about the stuff with the real
story,
the story behind it. We got 50 some odd buildings out there, 54 probably. 45 of the buildings out of 54 were headed for the landfill. And all those buildings have a story and a history. And you won't believe the information that was gathered to keep that alive.
I bet that is so fun. So the Pioneer Village is not open all the time.
No, we're only open this 3 days a year for our events, as far as our power show. The rest of the year, it's basically used for weddings and concerts, for church concerts and photo sessions, and maybe once in a while a couple car shows.
So, Steve, tell us a little bit about the Antique Power Show. That, of course, is a tradition you've been doing for how many years?
Well, this will be officially our 32nd year,
wow.
I believe it is. It's a three-day event, and we go back to the 1800s till current time. And this year, we're going to really show the difference in the last 125 years in the ag equipment business.
And have you been collecting new things since then, or do you have all the things?
We're collecting. We're always collecting. I mean, I hauled something home last Sunday that for sure 99 people out of 100 would not haul home. But I hauled it home anyway.
What did you see in it?
Oh, it's just unbelievable. If you look at the thing and look at the, this is an old truck.
Okay.
An old panel truck.
How old?
Oh, I don't even know how old the damn thing is. I didn't run the serial number, but it's probably in the 50s. But if you look at the grill in the front of this thing and just take a look at that, it's just unbelievable. That was brand new for somebody at one time. And they thought the world of that. And here it sat for, it hasn't moved for 45 years. And it, you wonder, why would you bring that home? Because it, you know, it's got some wear and tear.
Okay.
But boy, it's got the look.
Oh, I love it. So you're going to make that part of your
Pioneer Village? Oh, it's there. You're going to walk by and look at that and say, I've never seen one like it.
Really?
It's pretty damn interesting.
So where did you find it?
Oh, it's up at St. Paul.
Okay.
A friend of mine, he was in the well drilling business for years, and he up and died on us about 3-4 months ago. And everything he ever owned, he saved. His wife contacted me and says, come on up. We got some stuff with your name on it.
Oh, well, how beautiful that you get to keep his memory alive.
Oh,
yeah,
we got some more stuff of his, too. His name was Johnny Johnson was his name.
Okay.
And there's quite a story between him and his brother and their wives.
What is the story?
Well, back in 1952, Johnny Johnson and his brother took a drive to Glencoe to a wedding dance. They get there, and there's two young girls over there were sisters. Now, you got two brothers going to a wedding dance, and they run into two sisters.
Yes.
Turns out there's a snowstorm.
Okay.
Well, the young girls were afraid to drive in the weather, so drove over there with their 52 Chevy car, and they said, well, we can give you a ride home. So they give the two girls a ride home, never met before. And a week later, Johnny called the one girl, says, how about a date? Well, it turns out the two brothers married the two sisters.
What a great story.
And they drove that 52 Chevy over there. And I picked up that 52 Chevy 2 weeks ago. And I brought it home. It hasn't run for 40 years. 5 gallons of gas and a battery, and it's running. And Mrs. Johnson's coming to the show this weekend for a ride in the 52 Chevy across the Spiral Bridge.
Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, that just gave me a chill.
It's a real story. This is not something we're making up.
What a beautiful thing that you're doing, preserving all this history. A lot of people can remember St. Boniface Church in Hastings, and you have reassembled that. You dissembled it brick by brick, and tell people that story.
Well, when that church came available, the story was they're going to take it down, haul to a landfill.
Really?
Absolutely. They had bids. They had proposals for 60-some-odd thousand. They're going to destroy it and haul it to a landfill. And I suppose they'd have piecemealed it out and sold a window to here and a window there. And but all these windows are all stained glass windows with family names.
Right. Into are there Bauer names on there?
There's no Bauers, but there's all these other ones. There's Truaxes, and there's all local people from Hastings, just local Hastings people are there. I figured this church is just too nice to up and destroy. So we, it took a year, and I had a good friend named Leroy Rother, which had passed away on us. He lived until he was about 92, and he worked with us for 25 years.
Hard worker.
On taking down and restoring and building, and he just loved it. It was his life.
He built our deck.
Yeah,
he built 100 decks in town.
Very good craftsman, you know, and just a very, very likable person.
So now that took a year to take down, and then you reassembled it, but how did you do that?
Well, it's pretty simple when you think about it.
I am thinking about it.
Well, it's, you know, you just have to, I mean, I'm not very good at a computer. You know, I'm not real good with my Apple phone, but when it comes to thinking outside the box, you know, something you probably don't learn in school.
No, I think that's a good thing to have.
It's just sort of a...
Can you teach that in school? You can't, can you?
I don't think you can learn that in school. You know, a lot of people go to school and get an education and end up not using that education.
Right.
They might wander off to something in a different trade.
Right.
It's just interesting.
St. Boniface is what percent of the real church? Is it like 50%?
Two-thirds.
It's two-thirds. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, brick by brick, it's interesting. The bricks were, back in the day, they were three for a nickel when they built the church. I found the paperwork on the church, and it cost $27,000 to build it in 1895, and the bricks were made here in Hastings, and they were three for a nickel.
The bricks were made in Hastings.
Yeah,
I didn't
there was
know
a brick
that.
Factory here, and they're a long time gone.
Okay.
But that's where they came from.
Well, you certainly have preserved that memory for a lot of people, and I know that that's become quite the destination place. I've been to both funerals and weddings there.
Well, if you come out there and walk in that church this weekend, take
there's
a look.
There's a familiarity
about
it.
You just take
it.
A look and listen, because we have a little light music in the background, and that church really talks to you. You get some thought when you walk in there. It's a little different than the newer ones. There's a lot of meaning there. You got all these statues looking at you. As a matter of fact, we got one statue that I couldn't find a priest that could identify this statue. He's really rare.
Well, that's really cool. So that's just one of, as you said, 45 different spaces?
45 buildings that were headed for the landfill. And there's 54 total that we built.
54.
More of them we built on site, and we built them for storage and whatever use. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, one of your most iconic, I think, is the Porky's sign.
Oh, the Porky's sign. It's the Porky's buildings there. The whole building.
Right.
The whole building's there. People walk in there, and, yeah, they say, oh, God, we used to go to Porky's all the time. It was our favorite spot, you know. And
did you ever go as a kid?
I never got that far north. Okay. You know, I lived south of Meesville, and we never got north of Hastings, ever. We just lived on the family farm and never traveled out very far.
How did you know that the Porky's building and sign was something that was worth saving?
Well, it was advertised as an auction to sell the contents of the Porky's. I tried to call the auctioneer to talk to him about buying some of the signs, and he said, no, the signs are not for sale.
What were they going to do with them?
I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if the family was going to keep the signs. So I went up there and just looked around a little bit, and I had a tape measure with me. I measured up the building. I said, what are you going to do with the building? He said, well, we're going to scrap it. It's going to go in dumpsters. They said it's going to be $27,000 to destroy it and demolish it. I said, well, maybe I should just move the building. They said, well, if you want the building, look it over. And if you want it, we'll sell it to you for $10,000. Well, I don't know, but I'm pretty good at arithmetic. Not math, but arithmetic. If they want $27,000 to wreck it, but they want to charge me $10,000 for it, it didn't add up.
It didn't.
I told them, I said, I'll move it. I can move that building. I'll get it out of here for you. They said, well, can you have it out of here in 12 days? I said, sure.
Oh, my gosh.
We done the deal. And I said, I don't want the building without the signs. They said, well, the signs don't go. I said, then I don't want the building. I played a little hard nose, and within an hour, they gave in and said, take the signs, take the building, get the thing out of here.
They just wanted you out of there, I think.
They wanted me and the building out of there. So and the building was removed because of light rail.
Is that what it was?
That light rail took the property, and it was doomed to go. So,
well, it's not doomed anymore. It certainly is one of your most popular sites.
People come down there, you know, a woman will be there. I used to be a waitress there at Porky's, and that's where I met my husband. He'd come out, and well, all of a sudden we're dating. Next thing you know, we're getting married. And so there's a lot of stories about Porky's.
Yes. What are some of the other buildings that you have a great affinity for?
Well, I think the church is really the number one. Mm-hmm. Then Porky's, and then
think of the memories in that church.
Oh God, the memories! Yes, and the weddings, and the baptisms, and the funerals, and it's all there.
Do you feel the history? Like you said, when you walk in, there's a peacefulness, or you feel something. But is that what you're feeling? Do you think is the memories of people and loved?
Well, I'll tell you what makes me feel more about the church is the fact that during our event, I'll go out there and the church is open. And I'll just sort of sit back, and nobody knows who I am. I'm just another spectator as far as that goes. But just to watch people come in and look at this thing, and look at and listen to the sound of the music we have, and look at this thing, and you just don't see this in the new, what's going on in our society with churches. You know, 20-some percent of people go to church, the rest of them don't go to church. And when you see a mother walking with her young kids, and they look at the statues and say, who's he, Mom? Who's she? You know, it's just interesting to listen and watch the people.
Mm. Well, certainly we have an opportunity to do it. A lot of people watching. July 29th, 30th, and 31st from 8 until 5 is the Little Log House Antique Power Show. What can we expect this year?
Well, I think with the weather conditions, the way they sound, it's probably be in their 80s.
Yeah, it's perfect.
And there's going to be another young couple coming there that's really, I think, pretty interesting. They got married out there last summer. And I couldn't figure out walking through the parking lot why we had license plates from Illinois and North Dakota.
Right.
So I asked my girls, where are these people from? Well, it turns out the girl was from North Dakota, the boy was from Illinois, and they got married at our place. And you won't believe where them two met each other.
Where?
In Rochester, in ICU. They were both flown to Rochester for transplants, and they never knew each other. They met in the ICU in Rochester, fell in love, dated for 3-4 years, and then picked our place to get married. And now they're coming back this summer to the show.
Oh, my gosh. What a story.
That's a true story. Yeah.
What a story.
Think about that. think about the reality on that. You know, so
yeah.
They met in Rochester in ICU. And they're both survived, and they're both happy to be there, and they're got married there, and now they're going to come back and check out the place for the weekend.
And that's just one story of...
That's one story.
Countless stories I'm sure you could tell us.
There's a lot of stories. We added also this year, we're really heavy into windmills. You know, back in 1900, if you had a windmill, boy, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
You didn't have to pump the well by hand. There was no electricity. You had to go out and pump water by hand. Well, when you got a windmill, that was, what a deal. Now think about windmills. Now think about wind power. Well, we were doing it back 100 and some odd years ago, but not with wind for power, electricity, but wind for water. And these windmills would actually run a wash machine. We got the equipment here to hook a windmill up that it can actually run a wash machine.
Oh, my gosh.
And also run a grinder for grinding feed with a windmill. And I guess I don't think you're going to find too many of these sitting around the countryside.
No, I don't think so either. So you've been saving those as well.
Oh, yeah, I got 25 or more windmills. I'm not sure how many are there. I haven't counted them lately. But we got one more windmill that come out of Nevada. Come out of the desert.
Okay.
And the desert wells really deep, and the wind doesn't blow. So the windmills didn't work well. But in Hutchinson, Kansas, this company had a creative idea. Let's just put two heads on top of the windmill, and we're going to get twice the power of the same amount of wind.
Is that true?
It's true. And that there's two of them left in America, and I got one of them. If you want to see another one like it, you're going to have to drive to Texas.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I don't want to. I just want to come out to the Little Log House Antique Power Show, July 29th, 30th, and 31st from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. Can we get tickets at the door, Steve?
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And one more thing. The girls are really...
Your daughters.
My daughter's got this organized. Sylvia's got the flower garden.
Of course.
Running pretty clean. There's a sign out there, so if you see a weed, go ahead and pull it. But I haven't seen nobody pull a weed yet because I don't think you can find one. The biggest problem Sylvie has with the flower garden is probably the rabbits. But they have to eat too, you
they
know.
They do.
But the flower garden's in full bloom right now.
Can't wait to see it. Mm-hmm. Steve, it's so good to see you. Thank you. I know you're very busy, so thanks for coming in today. Anything else you want to tell our listeners?
Come on out and check it out. And you know, you'll see a lot of grandparents with grandkids saying, Grandpa, what's that for? Then Grandpa will say, well, you know, I had one of them, but I should have never sold it. I should have kept it. You know, this stuff that you sold, you know, 50 years ago was, in their mind was, well, I'm sick of that thing. I don't need that no more. But a lot of this stuff has been kept alive and brought back to into use.
Well, we're so happy that you have the hobby that you have. Is this a hobby or is it a business?
It's an addiction. Yeah. And there's more coming.
Oh,
we're not done.
Does Sylvia know?
Well...
It's your secret safe with me and our many listeners. How's that?
You're better off to beg forgiveness than you are for, you know how it is.
Steve Fowler, is there anybody like him? The answer's no. Oh, what are you going to say?
Oh, I got to tell you one more thing.
Oh, yes.
Believe it or not, I'd like you to have a come look at our flag.
Oh, okay.
Our American flag.
Yes.
Everything out there is made in America.
Good.
Everything.
Good.
And this flag.
Give yourself one of those.
This flag stands 140 some odd feet in the air. The flag pole was up north of the cities, and the state of Minnesota decided it had to go to replace it, and there's nothing wrong with it. But they cut this 150-foot flag pole in 30-foot sections and threw it in a dumpster. And from the dumpster, it goes to be recycled and be scrapped. So I acquired it for scrap price and put this flagpole back together. Come and look at that flagpole.
Well, you can see it from miles around.
Oh, absolutely. And we light it up at night. Whenever you call a lighting company and tell me you want to light a flag that's 145 feet in the air, it sort of stops most of them. But we got her lit up, believe me. You'll see it during our event. Every night it should be lit up for full light. So.
Well, it's going to be a great event, as always. Thank you, Steve. Steve Bauer, the Little Log House Antique Power Show is this weekend, July 29th, 30th, and 31st. It runs from 8 a.m. until 5 o'clock p.m. Don't want to miss it. It's just going to be a great event, as always. And we thank Steve for all that he's done in this area to preserve so much great history. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 14. 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.